It is good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 today, and just a fair warning, fair heads up. What time is it? 8:50? About 50 minutes ago, just felt like the Lord put something new on my heart this morning, and so this message that I'm going to preach is about 50 minutes old. And so the Lord doesn't always do that. Thankfully, because it's a little unnerving when he does, but we're just going to look at the Bible together. This look at Matthew chapter 4. It says there in verse 18, we're going to look at 18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Who's the he? Jesus, right? Jesus. While walking, we're in the beginning of Matthew here, Jesus is beginning his ministry. He's calling his first followers. He says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, being Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me. Everybody say, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. If you're taking notes, or if you got your Bible open in front of you, underline that word, immediately. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. I'm sure it was something similar. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, our vision statement here at Summit Church is this: to know, love, follow Jesus, and help others do the same. And so 2 weeks ago, we started this because every fall we talk about why it is, because it's important to remind ourselves why it is that we're here, why it is that we exist, why God has placed us right here for such a time as this in Gorham, put us together as a family for this vision. And so we talked about two Sundays ago that that we want for you, for each and every summiter, if we can call you that, for each and every summiter, we want you to know Jesus, and we want you to know him intimately. And then last week, we talked about loving Jesus, that we want you to love Jesus, and we want you to love him passionately. And then today, we're talking about how we want you to follow Jesus, right? That we want you to follow Jesus. And that's exactly what the invitation of Jesus here was to his early disciples. Follow me, and I'm going to give you purpose that you don't know anything about. Follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, can you imagine today if someone came to you while you were just fishing, and from the shore, you're out there in your little canoe, and from the shore, someone said, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Creepy. Right? I mean, let's just call it what it is, right? I mean, that's a little creepy, right? Cast a hook out there, right? Like, what if I did this to James right there and just tried to hook him right there? You know, it wouldn't really look good, right? It wouldn't feel good. And chances are you probably wouldn't come back next Sunday. Right? But this is the invitation of Jesus: follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so Jesus was inviting them and with an invitation that changed everything about their life. Okay. Now, we know about invitations, don't we? Okay, we get invitations all the time. Some of them are mundane or repetitive or something I don't want to minimize any of these, okay? But like a wedding invitation, right? Because there's a lot that goes into a wedding invitation, right? What do I need to wear? Because that could have indications, right? What the food is. That's going to have major implications on the RSVP. Anybody else? Y'all are looking at me like I'm all like wrong and uncomfortable. This might be the most controversial thing I say this morning, right here. Like this is right. Listen. I do weddings a lot. I did one a couple weeks ago. Okay, why are we going to cookies? Did a wedding recently that was cookies. Now I did another wedding, I don't know, in the last year, and it was mini cupcakes. Come on, man. Come on. Like, I get it, but like, what happened to the cake? Now, if you want to add ice cream, I'm all for that, right? But don't take the cake away. right? Like that's kind of, like that has major implications on my yes. I've got to ask some questions, right, before I say yes. And then Kristen's like, no, those questions are irrelevant. We're going, right? Right? Or you get invitations to coffee or things like that. But then there are invitations that change the whole trajectory of your life. There are invitations that change the whole trajectory of your life. Like 21 years ago, tomorrow. I was in front of this girl named Kristen's dorm. And I was dropping her off. Tomorrow will be 21 years since she said yes to my invitation to date me. And I was like, dropped her off 21 years ago tomorrow, before curfew. And I was like, hey, I got an invitation for you. Would you be my girlfriend? And she, after about 30 minutes, she said yes. It changed her life. That invitation, right, that moment changed the trajectory of both of our lives. I had never been to Maine in that moment. I didn't have a passport to get here. Right? Like I had never been here. Right? I had never heard about Maine, really, except for a geography test that I probably didn't do that great on. Right? But you get the point, right? That decision, that moment where she said yes, and I invited her into a relationship with me that was going to be much more intentional, where we were going to see if we were fit for each other to spend the rest of our lives together. That invitation for both of us, her response to that invitation, changed the entire trajectory of both of our lives. Right? And so you have invitations to weddings, you have invitations to dinners or coffees or lunches or even like, you know, fishing trips or things like that, right? But then there are some decisions, there's some invitations where the response changes the trajectory of your life. And Jesus gives an invitation here that flips the script. He walks up to some ordinary fishermen, some people, some guys with dirt under their fingernails, nets in their hands, probably smelled a little funny, right? And he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This is not a job offer. Okay, this was not an invitation to a theological debate. This was an invitation to follow him, and he would make us fishers of men. So today I want to talk about follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Sound good? We good? All right, number one. Okay, 3 points about the text, and then I think there's a couple takeaways at the end. All right, number one, it's going to be real simple this morning because, again, I wrote this at about 8 o'clock. Number one, follow me. What does follow me start with? It starts with surrender. That if we're going to follow, it starts with a level of surrender, right? Jesus didn't say, believe in me. Jesus didn't say, attend my classroom or show up or things like that. Jesus didn't say those types of things. He said, follow me. Now, that invitation requires movement. If we're going to follow, it requires movement. It requires trust. It requires leaving something behind, right? Those are some things that it requires. And so, is there somebody willing to help me out for a second? Anybody? Come on. Somebody willing to help me out? All right, James, come on. Come on, James. You got to hustle, though. You got to hustle. Come on. Come on, James. Come on. I feel like I'm coaching you in basketball again. Come on, James. Come on. No, get up here. Get up here. Okay? And so we talk about this a lot, okay? That when it comes to following Jesus, okay, James is our Jesus. Look at that. It's perfect. Okay? James is our Jesus, okay? He's got the right shirt on, got the right James, and so when we talk about following Jesus, okay, I don't want to be a heretic. I don't think Jesus cares about the Patriots. I know that might disappoint a lot of you. Anyway, but when we follow Jesus, we talk about this a lot. The roads back in the day would have been dusty, dirt, right? And one of the reasons that the washing of the feet was such a big deal is because people's feet would be filthy, right? And when you follow behind someone like that, like it hasn't rained here in months, if you follow behind someone like that on a dirt road, what happens? They kick up dust, right? They kick up dust. And when we talk about this, face that way, when we talk about this, right, we talk about that I want to follow so closely to Jesus that when he kicks up dust off his feet, I am covered filthy in the dust of the rabbi, right? That I want to follow, because again, that's movement. As James goes, all right, I want to be so close behind him that I'm covered in dust, right? If he turns, right, I want to be right behind him, right? Many of us struggle with this, right? Because we want to get out beside and say, hey, Jesus, we got something over here we got to go check out, right? But we got to be conscious and be consistent and surrender our wills and our ways to stay right behind the rabbi and stay covered in the dust of the rabbi. That makes sense? All right, good job. Right? And so following him requires trust, because I've got to trust that he knows where he's going, that he knows what he's doing. It requires leaving something behind, because if I'm going to follow Jesus, then I'm going to leave something behind. You remember the guy that came before Jesus? I said, Jesus, look at everything I've got. I've got all this land. I've got all these oxen. I've got this rich bloodline, this rich family history. I've got all these things that I can bring and offer to your kingdom. And you remember what Jesus said? Yeah, go leave all of those things and follow me. It's the last we heard of that guy. He couldn't do it. He couldn't leave those things. He couldn't lay those things down. Right? He couldn't walk away from those things in order to be committed to following Jesus. He couldn't do it. And so my question for you this morning is, when it comes to following Jesus, what nets are you still holding on to? Because it says, the scripture clearly says that when Jesus said to these guys, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, it says what? Immediately they dropped their nets and followed him. Immediately, they dropped their nets and followed him. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job title. Maybe it's a level of comfort or control, right, where we want to have a hand on our agenda, right, and the rest following God. Well, then there's something always that's going to be pulling us back, right? There's something always that's going to be pulling us back from following Jesus. You can't follow Jesus if your hands are full of your own plans. The disciples left immediately. They didn't have a resume. They didn't have a backup plan. Why? Because Jesus was enough. Jesus was enough. And so, again, question for you today in this point before we move on. What is one thing that you need to drop this week to follow Jesus more fully? Number two, he says, follow me, which requires surrender, and I will make you. What does this mean for us? He does the work. He does the work. We were talking about a couple weeks ago, right, how some of us feel like we have to clean ourselves up before we come to Jesus. We can't do that. We're not God, right? We're not right. The scripture says there's not one righteous, no, not one, right? And so we can't do that. We can't have the Savior complex, the Savior mentality that we can do the work that is sufficient to make us righteous, to make us godly. The scripture says, follow me and I will make you. Jesus doesn't say, make yourself useful. He says, I will make you. This is the promise, hear this, of transformation. He says, follow me and I will make you. This is the promise of transformation. You don't have to be impressive. You just have to be available. These were fishermen, uneducated, no Bible degrees, no platforms, but in the hands of Jesus, world changers. One of these fishermen would go on to spearhead the movement of the church in the book of Acts. And so just come. and allow him to shape you, to stretch you, to send you, all of those different things. And so start each morning this week with this prayer. What would it look like for you to do this? Jesus, I surrender my agenda today. Make me who you want me to be. Mold me into who you want me to be. Make me who you want me to be. And so, follow me. It starts with surrender. It starts with us laying down some things, letting go of our nets. And I will make you. He does the work, right? We can't make ourselves good enough. And then number three, fishers of men. There's people to reach. There's people to reach. There's people to reach. We're called to reach people. It's really popular right now. There's a movement in the church that some people have made pretty popular that calls September like back to church month or something like that. I think it's called. And the whole movement is centered around something like some statistic like 82% of people. 82% of people say that they would show up at church on a Sunday morning if somebody just invited them. That's a crazy number, right? Like 82% of people would show up at church on Sunday if someone invited them. If they said, "Hey, I'm gonna sit with you. I want to do this together. I'll make it a priority." 82% of people say that they would come to church if they were just invited. And then there's a follow-up statistic to that. Only 2% of Christians state that they have invited someone to church in the last year or something like that, or that they're comfortable inviting someone to church. So we got 82% of people willing to come, but only 2% of people willing to invite. That's crazy. Right? That's crazy. Doesn't make sense. Because we see Jesus' whole ministry built on what? Invitation. Invitation to follow, right? Come. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. Come and see a man who just might be the Messiah, right? Come and see. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We're called to reach people. Let me tell you something. Jesus changes your purpose. Jesus changes your purpose, not just to be saved, not just that get out of hell free card, but to join him in reaching others with the same, right? He doesn't call us to sit in rows. He calls us to cast nets with our words, with our lives, with our love. You don't need a stage to be a fisher of men. You don't need to preach to be a fisher of men. You don't need a platform to be a fisher of men. If I'm honest with you, many times this pulpit stands in between me and being a fisher of men. It becomes a distraction. It becomes something that stands in the way. Why? Because with this pulpit, with this mantle, there are expectations from people that are not of God on me to do things that are, again, not of God, but to fulfill their agendas. And you have to reject that distraction. You have to reject that evil to be who God's called you to be. There's another level of distraction. You don't need to be that. You need to be where you are. As you go, Scripture says in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, as you go, make disciples of all nations, cast your nets, reach others for Jesus, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the ends of this age. This will make sense. You don't need a stage to be a fisher of men. You just need a story and a heart for people. Every classroom, every workplace, every coffee shop, every family dinner, every single place that you are, every car ride, every single place that you are is a fishing boat. Every single place. Every single place. And so I want you to think about when it comes to obedience and following and surrender and him doing the work, who is one person that you can invite to church? Who is one person that you can pray for? Who is one person that you can simply love intentionally this week? Name them. Bring their name to the front of your mind and do it. Do it. Because here's the reality. Jesus is still walking along the shores of our lives, and he's still inviting, and he's still calling. Just like this past week, today, he is unchanged. He is unmoved. His mission did not heighten this past week. It is still just as high as it's ever been. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Why? Because people need him. Because people need him. Because we need him. I was at Poutine Fest yesterday. You ever heard of this thing? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You pay, I don't even know how much you pay. It's Kristen's love language. She got the tickets. And so we go and you stand in line. So over at Thompson's Point, you stand in line, they come around, they give you these cards and these tokens, and these little slips of paper are good for all of this. And I got into a conversation yesterday. Oh man, here we are. I got into a conversation yesterday about following Jesus, right? And about what it is to follow Jesus, and the church just being a revolving door. And the person I was talking to, they said, yep, and I don't know what it is, but people just come in the church and then they leave the church, and they come in the church and then they leave the church, and they come in the church and then they leave the church, and the revolving door. How are we going to stop the revolving door? And I said, well, I don't think we are going to stop the revolving door, right? Like that's not up to us, right? Like we are to stay faithful, right? I mean, we can lock the doors. Like we can keep, we can do some things, right? But I don't, again, that's a fast track for you to not ever come back, or maybe even me to come back. I get claustrophobic, don't want to feel trapped, right? And so I reflected on a little bit, had a little bit more poutine, which by the way, lobster and poutine, nah, don't do it. Don't do it. It's a good idea in theory, but nah. And so I thought for a minute, and in relation to this message, and I think this is when God began to change the message in me yesterday. Thinking about following Jesus, what it is to follow Jesus. And I said, I think there's a revolving door in the church because we're not really interested in following Jesus. I think there's a revolving door in the church because we're not really interested in following Jesus. We're just interested in being entertained. We're just interested in consuming what we can consume. But the second it comes to sacrifice, surrender, laying our life down, let me go somewhere else where I don't have to, where they're not going to ask me to do that. Where they're not going to put an expectation on me. Because I like my life. I've built a pretty good life. And I don't think there's a lot in my life that needs to be changed. Look at this. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 is where I want to close. And you don't have to turn there necessarily. It'll be up on the screen. Jesus, speaking again, said to all, it says there, if anyone would come after me, what does that mean? If anyone would follow me, if anyone would come after me, if anyone's going to drop their nets, surrender, follow him, allow him to do the work, all of these different things to reach people for him because he came to seek and save the lost, right? If anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, everybody say daily, and follow me. No, I'm going to keep reading. Forever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels? But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. If anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. So here's my challenge this morning. Don't just believe in Jesus, follow him. Don't just think he's a good idea, follow him. Don't just try to be better, let him make you better. Don't just live for yourself, fish for people. And so Jesus is calling, are we willing to drop our nets? How do we do it? Number one, what does it look like practically to follow Jesus today? Number one, deny yourself. Deny yourself. not in a self-hating way or anything like that, but in a self-surrendering way. Deny yourself. It means putting what God's will is in your life over your wants. It's choosing forgiveness instead of payback. It's choosing purity instead of popularity. It's choosing obedience over convenience. It's choosing silence over noise. And so ask yourself this thing daily. What do I want right now that I need to lay down so that I can follow Jesus more closely? What is the thing right now that I need to lay down? What is the net right now that I need to drop so that I can follow Jesus more closely? Number two, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Now, I know we know this, but let me just bring this up. The cross wasn't jewelry. It's not meant to be just something cute that we put on jewelry. It was a symbol of death to self. Okay, the cross, and still is, a symbol of death to self. And so Jesus is asking you to carry what's hard. He's asking you to carry what's hard, not just what's easy. He's asking you to live in a way that's hard and not just what's easy and comfortable. And this might be speaking up when it's awkward, loving people who are hard to love, staying faithful when no one notices, saying yes to God when it would be easier to say maybe later. But what's one hard thing that I've been avoiding that Jesus might be asking me to carry with him? What's one hard thing that I've been avoiding, that Jesus just might be asking me to carry with him? I was in a conversation recently with somebody, and I said, "Nope, we ain't got time for that." Number three, follow me. Deny yourself, surrender. You see how these are connected? Take up your cross, right? He does the work. You can do what's hard, and then follow me. This is daily, not one prayer, not one Sunday, every day. Walk in his steps, listen for his voice, live on his mission. And so take a step this week. Take a step this week. Maybe it's inviting that coworker to church. Again, 82%. Like, and that might even be what I say. If I worked in a secular environment, I love that, by the way. Maybe I'll do this. I'm in enough secular environments all week. Maybe I'll do this. I'll go. I, one way you could do this, if you're maybe a little more bold, be like to the coworker that doesn't go to church, "Hey, listen, 82%, especially if they're an overachiever, if they're a winner, be like, 82% of people say that they would go to church if they're invited. So I want you to come to church with me next Sunday. I'm inviting you to church. Don't be a loser. Don't be in the 18%. Come to church with me." Hey, it's a way. I didn't say it was a perfect way for everybody, right? But it's a way, right? It's a way. You could challenge somebody, right? You could challenge somebody and just have some fun with it. I digress. Maybe it's confessing a sin that you've been battling for the last 6 months and you haven't told anybody, and asking for help. Whatever it is, are you willing to take a step of following him this week and say, I wanna follow Jesus for real. I wanna follow Jesus for real. I wanna follow Jesus for real. The worship team's gonna come. There's a guy by the name of Kyle Eidelman who kind of coined this phrase a few years ago. Followers, not fans. He wrote a book called Not a Fan. And I just want to close with saying Jesus doesn't want fans, he wants followers. And followers don't get to write the script, they just say yes. And so today, we want you to know Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about helping others do the same. Followers don't get to write the script. They just in surrender say yes. And so today, I've asked you a lot of questions. But I want to close with this one. Are you going to stay in the boat with your nets, your comfort, the things of this world that you're trying to hold on to? And I get it. I get it. I get it. Or will you will you drop everything? Deny yourself. Carry the cross. And follow the only one worth following. Because I promise you this. When you follow Jesus, you don't just lose your life. You finally find it. So with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, and I'm not gonna give an invitation. I'm only doing this so that you can focus. No distractions. Because I'm afraid some of us don't consider this enough. I taught a membership class on Monday. I think there were 9 people in the room, which is awesome. What God's doing in this place is incredible. Just so thankful. But you know, the point of our membership class is to ask this question: am I called to belong to Summit Church? And that word calling is huge because it implies surrender. It implies a following. It implies that I'm going to align my will with this place because of their pursuit of God. And so like I asked those folks on Monday night, I want to ask you this morning, just very simply, every person in the room, even if you're in this room today and you say, I want nothing to do with following Jesus, great. My heart breaks for you. But just hear me in this question. Each and every one of us, what does it look like to ask this? God, what are you calling me to right now? Just ask him. God, what are you calling me to right now? Maybe it's more purity. Maybe it's a bold conversation. Maybe it's to lay something down. Maybe it's to plant a church. To preach. Maybe it's to quit something that you've been doing for a really, really long time that's just getting in the way of a lot of things in your life. But again, God, what are you calling me to right now when it comes to following you? God, what's standing in the way? Is it fear? Is it doubt that it'll work? Insecurity, low self-worth, value. What's standing in the way? And then lastly, God, will you give me the strength to surrender and follow you in this thing today and every day? God, what are you calling me to? God, what's the net that's standing in the way? God, will you give me the strength to follow you in obedience? God, today I pray for each person in this room. God, that you give us the strength to be obedient sons and daughters who deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. Not just Sundays, and follow you. And God, I pray for the person in the room that maybe doesn't believe that, doesn't believe in you yet, that God, their pursuit of you in the boat, their pursuit of you being here today and showing up would lead to them dropping their net and following you with their lives. knowing that when they do, even though some may say we lose things, that they would see that they gain everything in you. I thank you for making a way for us to be with you forever in Christ Jesus. God, I pray that surrender would mark your church today. That following you would mark your church today. That being still and knowing that you are God would mark your church today. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.